The book of Hebrews that we've been hearing about these past weeks was for an early gathering of new Christians, once Jews, unsure of who they were and who Christ was, as compared to the scriptural leaders that were known to them through the Torah. The message that this fledgling community of believers who knew that the future of the church was at stake heard through these writings, it was a message that was meant to keep them focused and told them not to lose faith, to hold steadfast, and to stay close to God. And according to these scriptures, heard that the way to do this was to remain faithful to Jesus. In other words, understanding who Jesus is the antidote to losing faith. But understanding who Jesus is proves to be elusive to his closest followers, as we hear about in Mark's gospel. James and John, who just after hearing Jesus say that those who are first will be last and the last will be first, when describing what the kingdom of God would be like, still presume that asking Jesus to sit in glory at his right hand and at his left hand, ahead of his fellow disciples, is in line with the teachings of Jesus. Have they been listening? This isn't the upside-down kingdom that Jesus is talking about. Now, sure, their relationship to Jesus seems to be pretty tight. I'm not sure how else to explain having the kind of nerve that they did to ask such a question if they didn't feel secure in the relationship. But how is their understanding of Jesus? How is their faith? Have they heard Jesus as he proclaims that the Son of Man will undergo suffering, rejection, and death? Have they selectively blocked out of memory Jesus telling them that the Son of Man will be betrayed into human hands? Do they have any realization of what is at stake? Surely, as disciples of Jesus, we aren't that blind. The dissonance is remarkable, and ironically, it takes a blind man to see what is really going on. As Jesus makes his way towards Jerusalem and towards the cross, blind Bart, as my friend Rob calls him, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sits on the side of the road outside of Jericho. His arms crossed, his fingers clutching the coat that keeps him warm and secure from the elements on a cold day. The same garment that provides a place for the coins passers-by toss his way as he begs for his livelihood. Who knows how long he's been blind? All his life? Only in his adulthood? Regardless of how long he sits on the outside of society, as systemically as he sits on the side of the road, the crowds don't take him into consideration, but he knows why they're there. He knows why he's there. Jesus of Nazareth. His recognition builds into hope, and his hope builds into excitement. In his blindness, Bartimaeus sees what the crowd does not. In his excitement, he calls out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David being a title Jesus doesn't make public during his ministry, but not hidden from this blind man. The Gospels make clear that Jesus' true identity remains hidden from most people until after the resurrection. It might be the case that most of Jesus' followers are too busy seeing what they want to see. A magician, a political and military leader, a carpenter's son, a wise man, too busy to notice what blind Bart sees, free of all such filters. He discerns so quickly Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of God. But Bart's excitement is embarrassing. It's an undignified reminder. It's the voice from the margins that calls out to be taken into account when the status quo is too busy maintaining the status quo. Nobody really wants this voice to be heard, this voice that will disrupt. But this undignified and persistent voice, filled with hope and excitement, is heard by Jesus. And to this outsider, Jesus offers the very same question that he offers the insider when the request is brought before him. What would you like me to do for you? What would be our answer to Jesus' question, to his offer? Jesus, glorify me, or Jesus, heal me? Jesus, make us whole. Could this be the very heart of our call to radical discipleship? Take heart, get up. He is calling us. Could Bartimaeus be the example of discipleship that the church needs for today? Don't we say that, like the fledgling followers of Christ that we read about in Hebrews, that for us the future of the church is also at stake? Don't we also need a message meant to keep us future-focused that tells us not to lose faith and to hold steadfast, assuring us that God is near? Is the church more concerned with glorification, returning us to a days of strong attendance and strong membership, back to the days when Sunday school was a given, when seminaries were full, and when society took for granted that Christian holidays didn't need to be specifically called Christian because everybody just knew them as holidays? Is there a part of us that is still just seeing what we want to see? Is there a part of us that would rather hush any inkling of disruption, lest our image of the church that has served us so comfortably through the generations dissolve like a dream if we dare to wake up? Or is this church more concerned with wholeness? Those of us who still find ourselves coming to church on a Sunday morning when the rest of the world is, let's face it, at brunch? Those of us invested in the church, even before we call others into it, are we not called to see Jesus in a way that we haven't before, as the insiders? Who have we overlooked or silenced? Whose voices are not being heard? And what are we doing to encourage and to comfort and to assure each other to take courage, to get up, and to recognize Jesus, who calls us all into wholeness? Now, I believe that the church today desperately needs a take courage, get up, he is calling you kind of reformation. And yes, on this particular Sunday, it is Reformation Sunday, and this Lutheran pastor could not possibly preach a sermon without including the word reformation. Sorry. But I might remind us that the church, since its beginnings, has always been a reforming church. It has always been reforming. And perhaps we, the disciples of Christ today, still need a reforming church with courage and heart at its center that doesn't sit silently, but answers God's call to resistance and persistence and then follows Jesus along the way. Do we dare to be that excited? Do we dare to be that hope-filled? Are we willing to recognize God in new places, in new faces, in new ways of being church? Recognizing an ecological God instead of an economical God? believing in a relational God instead of a transactional God, trusting in a God who offers wholeness, a God that reconciles us to one another, and a God whom by his own death and resurrection reconciles us to the very heart of God. As a church, we can open our eyes and our hearts and our faith to that kind of God who is asking all of us here, all of us, beloved, what would you like me to do for you, my church, in this day and age? What would you like me to do for you? Our teacher, let us see again. Give us faith and make us well. Amen.